Luke 7. Just go anywhere in Luke 7. Woo! And verse 36. Joe, you laid the foundation of loving God. I am going to build upon what you laid. I'm in a series. I got one more to do. But this is Valentine's Day. I will give you, I'm going to give you great principles tonight. I can't hardly wait to preach. I told Michael, I like it when it happens like it. Rich, I like it when it happens like it did today. I left my last eye appointment. I was coming down the road, and I'm telling you, just like the Bible, see, I got a lot of this Bible memorized. And it was like this page in Luke 7, you can go there, just came down, and I started visualizing it. And in visualizing it, I started putting points together and thoughts together. And dear Lord, I ain't got but three little things written down here, but it don't matter. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. So evidently she had a well-known sin. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself. And by the way, you speak within yourself, God's unheard it, okay? This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. Somebody raise your hand if you're glad God saves sinners, loves sinners. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. Then he gives him a little short parable. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman. Now listen to this, and I want y'all to go back to the custom of the day. When you're invited to dinner, here's what happens. You come in, you don't sit at a table and your feet under the table. You sit on a couch and your feet sticking back. And here's what they do for you when you come in and you're invited. You get water. You get anointed. You get kissed. Hello? And you get your feet washed. That's what happened when you come in. Now listen to this. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint. But this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Somebody help me. Wherefore, listen, here's where the sermon comes. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Listen to this statement. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Then he said at the end, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. How many believe that's a wonderful passage of scripture? Depicts the love of God and the love of us toward God. How many think we ought to love God since God forgave us all our sins? Well, can I ask you, what pit did he bring you out of? Somebody help me. What pit did he bring you from? What mess did he bring you from? He brought me out of a mess. I want you to know, I had a lot to forgive. But somebody raise your hand and say, thank God there's forgiveness in the Lord. I will tell you, that kind of here's my message. That kind of forgiveness produces something. Now, here's what I'm preaching on. You said it in one of your sentences. And I thought, please don't say that as a text. I want to preach on, how much do you love Jesus? Because I want you to know something. It will be determined by your actions. By the way, don't love with word only, but with a deed and a truth. Somebody help me, I'm preaching good. Three things I want to give you that she did. Boy, I'm about to get hallelujah here in a minute. Number one, I want you to know what she desired. Jesus walked in his house, and as soon as she, good Lord, I'm about ready to move out. Jesus walked into the house, entered the house, and soon she saw him go in. Guess what she did? She went in after him. You know what she wanted? Somebody asked me, tell me what her desire was. Tell me what her desire was. Anybody y'all know? She wanted his presence. Somebody help me here. You know something? Don't tell me you're saved and you don't want to be in his presence. And these people that don't want to come to church, look at me. They ain't loving God much. I want you to know something. I can't tell you a lot. I do know this. When I got saved, I was in church every service. When I got saved, I loved being in church. I loved being in his presence. Hey, I was in his presence in my car. I still shout in the car. Every once in a while, I tell the devil, get out, open the doors, and say, Jesus, come in. Devil, get out. Holy Ghost, you're welcome here. Devil, get out. Listen here. Let me bring this on down. There's some people I'm talking to on live stream right now. Can I mention just a few of them? And I don't I'll miss some of them, and don't get me wrong. I ain't trying to miss nobody. I wrote three or four names down just because I have had them on my heart. Every time I go to George and Dewey O'Brien's house, you know what they say to me? Live stream's good, but it ain't the real deal. We miss being in the presence of our people and God and in worship. We forgot how to worship. George and Judy, God loves you. I thought about Dee Morse today. He loves church. He loved to be in his presence tonight. I thought about Pat and Brenda, Charlie Mays, and people love church. You know why they love church and love being around God's people? Because around there they see the presence of God. And I'm not saying he can't be present at home. He is. By the way, don't forsake the assembling yourself together. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be in the midst. Say, oh, I'm too spiritual to be on Wednesday night. What kind of nut are you? I'm a Sunday morning person. I ain't ashamed to tell you. You ought to be ashamed to tell the Lord that. You mean to tell me he forgave all your sins, shed his blood for you, and he don't deserve your appearance every time the doors get open? At least if you're not providentially hindered. I got to tell you something. I got a lot of issues. That ain't one of them. I want to be around God. I told you Sunday morning, I was a nervous wreck. I was nervous about preaching. I was nervous that, what if I do it wrong? This is a fragile subject. What if I don't handle it properly? What if I'm not balanced? What if I go too far one way or too far the other way? What? And here's what really got me. What if somebody hurt? Well, it was their last chance. And I'll tell you, that tore me up. And I take preaching seriously, and I take serving God seriously, and I take coming to church seriously. I take loving my brother seriously. Let me go on. So as we saw how much she loved her by her desire, number two, I saw how much she loved her by what she did. Not only her desire for the presence of the Savior, but what she did, she provided substance. You know what? This bothers me, and I might as well just tell you what bothers me. God has given you everything, but you don't want to give him back anything. I mean, there's three things you can give him tonight that's simple. You can give him your time. You say, well, I don't have time to pray. Shame on us. I don't have time to read my Bible. You mean you don't want God to talk to you? I don't have time to pray, and then you don't want to talk to him? Somebody help me. Say, I ain't got time for that stuff. I'm too busy making a living. I want promotion at work. I want everything to go right at the house. I'm too busy fixing up the house. Yeah, it's noticeable. See, she showed how much she loved him by what she did. She went down and washed his feet and kissed his feet and gave that alabaster box of ointment, which is, we know in another passage, worth 300 pence. 300 days of work. She gave it all. See, she didn't mind giving some time. She didn't mind giving some talent. Some of you that could sing, shame on you, don't sing. If you're like me and can't sing, stay out of the choir. I can't. I want to sing in the choir. They won't even let me anyway. You hear me? Whatever talent you got, whatever gift you got, and I don't want to equate talent and gift because there are some differences. You do know that. There's some gifts God given you for ministry that I don't want to say is a talent. Singing is not necessarily a gift. It is a talent. Come on now. You may have ability to teach. You got a talent to teach. Why aren't you teaching? You got a talent to gab. Why ain't you witnessing? I'm just going to be honest with you. I know if you love God or not, if you're busy or not. No, listen to me. She gave her time. She gave her talent. She gave her treasure. That thing costs 300 penny worth. A penny's a day's wages. Almost a year's wage. Rich, a year's wages. And if I preach on a tenth what you owe God, you get mad. You owe it. You're supposed to tithe and give an offering above that. Then you give. You don't give a dime until you tithe.
That's right.
And by the way, that shows just how much you love Jesus. I remember when I first got saved. I will tell you all this. I was excited. I told somebody this week, and I meant it. I said, I am as excited today in the ministry as I was 40 years ago when it came to Taze Valley. They said, you can't be. I said, I am. I love doing what I'm doing. But I didn't start out doing this, Joe. I started out just wanting to, when that preacher got up, and I don't even know what anything is, and he said, we need a deacon. I volunteered. Well, I'm a deacon 2 weeks in. Then he said, we needed to trust in. I said, well, trust me. And I was going to be it. He said, do you own a car? I said, it's co-signed by my dad. You can't be that either. 2 weeks in. I just sat on the front seat just wondering, is he ever going to call my number? And he got up in church and he said, we got a Sunday school class, primary Sunday school class. We want to have it, this primary class, and there's rats down there and there's terrible stuff in there, and I need somebody to volunteer to clean it. And I thought, am I going to get turned down again? I said, me? He said, yes, sir. I went down there, Gene, they were rats. Them things that long. I put some Decon out and they gained weight on it. And I worked for the State Road. Have you ever seen State Road Rat Killer, son? When you State Road Rat Killer gets a hold of them, they die with their eyes open. I mean, it's merciless. I mean, boy. So I put them out and had my little old Camaro that Marguerite ended up wrecking. And I had them in there, and the flies were going around my head, looked like a halo going down there. I love Jesus. Came to church on Sunday. They had the primary class. Three young girls got saved in that primary class, and all I did is what I could. Come on now. Just do what you can. By the way, if you love Jesus, you want to do what you can. You want to give as much money as you can to that building program. You want to give as much as you can to the food pantry. You want to give as much as you can to frontline. You want to give as much as you can to them highway and hedges kids. Come on! Do you love him? It'll be expressed on this. Your desire. On what you do. Number three, I'm done. Listen to this. This is good. Stay right on down here. Look at verse 47 and 48. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. I want you to know something, not only what she desired and what she did, but what she discerned. Can I ask y'all a question? Let me pour a seed out here, man. Lord, I'm old. We'll get out. Everybody can see me here. I just talk to you, man. I got a couple minutes here. Let me talk to you. Can I talk to all y'all? Can I ask you something? I don't want you to look back your old life. But what are you? Where did he bring you from? You said, well, I was a little innocent girl. Well, you had to have the same grace I did. What did he bring y'all from? What did he bring you to? Well, come on now. Can I ask all y'all this? How much you love Jesus? And by the way, it's going to be determined. It is going to be determined by this. What you desire. What you do and your discernment. Look at what he done for me. Lois, can you do that song? Look what? Yeah. Hope. Anybody want to raise your hand and say, he done a lot for me? Amen. How many could sip it up and shout a little bit? Yes, how many could raise them up and say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, you mean everything to me. Lord Jesus, you're everything. I don't know why I'd be in hell or jail or somewhere if it wasn't for you, but thank you. Not only did you forgive me, you called me to preach, you put me and give me a great wife, a great family. Wow! Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes. Amen. You say you shouldn't get so excited. You start boiling up in you, you'll get just as excited as I am. You said, I'm not emotional. You shout at the ball game. You shout at your wife. Somebody help me. Do you not believe he deserves you? He deserves your service. Don't quit singing the choir. Don't quit working for God. Don't quit soul winning. Don't quit your Sunday school class. Don't quit your bus route. Don't quit anything. Serve God until you die. Yes, amen. Yes. Anybody else want to shout out to me? Somebody tell me God delivered from sin. Do you feel forgiven today? You ask me why I'm happy. I'll tell you why. My sins, they're all gone. When the scoffers come and ask me where they're at, I'll tell them where they're at. They're all under the blood of Calvary, and they're gone. And some of you church members that I ought to just come around the altar. I ain't telling you come bring all your sin. Just come around the altar and say, I love you, Jesus. And I want to do something for you, Jesus. He kind of deserves it. That's right. Go ahead and start. Stan Lois, come and sing something. You want to come and tell him you love him? Just come on. Stand with me. Our Father, thank you for this time of prayer, time of blessing, time of worship. Time when we could just say thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for putting us in the ministry. Thank you for our great church. Thank you for my great home. Thank you for my saved kids. Whoa! Whoa! I love you. Thank you. Keep coming. You can come and tell me you love him. Come on. It ain't gonna hurt you. And if you're not saved, raise your hand. We'll lead you to Jesus.
Done for you.
Come on.
See what?
Come on, that's right. Keep on coming, come on. It's a Valentine's Day. Y'all need to love each other.
He's done what no other can do. Look
yes!
What God
you're good to.
Has done for you. When you are in trouble,
think about it.
He was your dearest friend.
And God came on the scene.
When you needed someone, he was there to
how many remember when nobody was around you, but God came?
A strong and mighty tower.
I remember, that you were so weak, but he became so strong.
Look what God
can you wave your hand and worship? Look what he's done for you. Still coming, you can still go.
What he has brought you through, he's done what no other can do. Look what God has done for you.
Hallelujah!
What God
has he been good to you? I'm going to preach here. God gave it to me coming in the car. I hope it helped you a little bit.